This month, on the 28th, we're going to have our birthday and anniversary celebrations. Cookies, cupcakes, and ice cream, so come on over and join us. And it's a little bit away, but fall is coming. It's September 22nd. We can get into it in joys and concerns, but something else to keep in mind is that we're coming up on Patriots Day, and it's time to remember the bad, sorrowful events of 9/11. 9/11 will probably stick with anybody who was around when it happened for the rest of their lives. So I would say we need to pray for the people who died in 9/11 and for their families and loved ones. Does anyone have any other announcements? Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please stand as we sing Rejoice Ye Pure in Heart on 160.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning acknowledging that we are often anxious people and we're living in uncertain times. We confess that we're worried about tomorrow instead of trusting in you today. We admit that sometimes we seek our own kingdom instead of looking for and finding yours. Thank you for the reminder that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you see us, you know us, and you care for us more than the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Help us to truly believe that we are much more valuable than they are. Lord, teach us to trust in your provisions. When we're tempted to worry about our needs, remind us that you know exactly what we require before we even ask you for it. Help us to do our part faithfully while trusting you completely with the outcomes of our lives. Give us the grace to focus on today and free us from the exhausting burden of borrowing tomorrow's troubles. Help us to see today's opportunities instead of being paralyzed by tomorrow's potential problems. And we pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our next hymn is I Stand Amazed in the Presence. It'd be the first, second, and fifth verse.
Well, joys and concerns. I got one joy. With fall coming, with the colder weather coming, I don't know about you, but hay fever season and allergies this year seems to have been really bad. So one joy that's coming up is hopefully the pollen will die down and our noses will stop running and we won't be sneezing and our eyes won't be watering and things will be better. Now, we got some concerns again this week, unfortunately. I wish it was a peaceful week, but it's not. But let's start with, I hope everybody came through the storm Friday fairly well. We took a little bit of a beating around here. We had to cut quite a few large tree branches up. One of them covered the parking lot halfway, so we had to get that out of the way. Our light pole in the back for the basketball court, that whole thing came down, the light came down, so we had RU come down. They're gonna replace that eventually, but they disconnected the wires and everything's safe. Unfortunately, we had another school shooting. that's never a good thing, and it's becoming too regular a thing, in my opinion. I mean, it's just becoming commonplace. It's even to the point, I think, that some people are just saying, oh, well, gee, another one. And that's bad when bad things become very common. The other disaster that struck is, I don't know what country it was in, but there was a landslide. And that landslide took out an entire town. Over 1,000 people were killed. Only one person survived the landslide, and that's because this person happened to have been out of town doing some other business. So we need to pray for all these people. Pray for them, pray for their families, and pray that the people who survive these things, that they can move on with their lives and that they can find some easing of the pain and suffering from all their losses. I believe that's all I've got for joys and concerns. Does anybody have anything else? Okay, it's time for tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on these tithes and these offerings. May they be used to support your work and to bring your message to the world. Amen. Thank you.
Our next hymn is Blessed Assurance.
Okay, well, today we're going to take a little break from Luke. Nothing wrong with Luke. It's just that I have a little different topic for today that I think is appropriate. And it struck me as something as a good thing to deliver a message about. So we're going to get away from Luke a little bit. And we're going to go to Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34 today. So let me start today's message with a question. How many of you check your phone within the first 5 minutes of waking up in the morning? And I think if we're honest, most of us do. I know I do. We wake up and we immediately reach for that phone. And what do? We start scrolling through news feeds. We check the weather. We read about any global crises that are occurring. If we're into money, we check into economic conditions. And if we're into politics, well, we check what's going on in the political world and see what kind of turmoil is going there. Often, before our feet even hit the floor, anxiety has already moved in, and we start our day off uncomfortable. Now, we live in unprecedented times of uncertainty. Right now, in this day and age, we're dealing with economic instabilities. There's political division out there, global conflicts, wars. There's artificial intelligence, which has its good points and it has its bad points. Some people are worried about job security. And you know, the list just goes on and on and on. It seems like a lot of times all we do is worry. Now, in this day and age, we have access to more information than any generation in history. Yet we've never, ever been more anxious about the future. We know too much about everything. And unfortunately, that everything includes everything that can go wrong. But here's what I want you to understand today. The fear of uncertainty isn't new. 2,000 years ago, Jesus spoke directly to people who were worried about their next meal, their clothing, their tomorrow, and many other things. Now, they didn't have smartphones in those days, but they did have racing hearts. And they had the same sleepless nights that we do. They have the same gnawing anxiety about what might happen in the future. So today we're getting into Matthew, like I say, 6, verses 25 to 34, where Jesus gives us ancient wisdom for modern anxieties. So let me read the whole passage, and we'll get into little pieces of it as we go through, but we're going to start off with the whole passage. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers in the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like any of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need more. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, Jesus gives us three truths here, and it's three T's for turbulent times. And these three T's can transform how we face uncertainty. So let's explore them together. And the first one is trusting in God's provision. In Matthew 6:25, begins with a radical command. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what will you wear? This sounds almost offensive to modern ears, doesn't it? We all have bills to pay. We have careers to build, and we have families to feed. But Jesus isn't promoting irresponsibility. He's promoting trust. In Matthew 25b, verse 25b, he immediately follows this command with a compelling question. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? In other words, what he's saying is, you are more than what you consume, and you're more than what you wear. Your value isn't determined by your portfolio or by your wardrobe. Notice how Jesus makes his case in verse 26. He points to creation. Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than them? This isn't just poetic language. It's profound theology. Birds don't have retirement plans, or retirement accounts, or savings plans, and they don't have investment portfolios. They don't attend webinars on financial planning or read articles about economic forecasts. Yet, they are fed. And it's not because they're careless. It's because they trust the rhythm and the provision of their Creator. Now, in verse 27, Jesus asked a penetrating question. Can one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I think the answer is pretty obvious. Worry accomplishes nothing productive. In fact, medical research shows that chronic anxiety can actually shorten your life. So not only does worry fail to add to your life, it can detract from it. Now, before you think that Jesus is telling you to quit your job and sit under a tree waiting for God to drop money in from heaven into your lap, you need to understand this. Birds work hard. They search for food. And they build nests, and they care for their young. But they don't store up anxiety along with their seeds. They don't lie awake at night wondering if there'll be enough worms to eat tomorrow. What's the difference? The difference is trust. They do their part, and they trust God to do His part. Now, many of us, we can relate to this struggle. We send out resumes. We work hard at our jobs. We make responsible financial decisions. But yet, we still lay awake at night wondering if it will be enough and we've done enough. We're doing everything we can, but we can't sleep at night wondering how we're going to make ends meet. And that's exactly where Jesus meets us. He doesn't condemn our hard work or the responsible planning, but he does condemn the sleepless nights filled with anxiety about things that we just cannot control. Now, Jesus continues in verses 28 and 29 by saying, "See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." So think about that. Solomon, he had unlimited resources. He had the finest designers. He had rare fabrics from across the known world. Yet Jesus, he says that a simple wildflower, which will be gone tomorrow, is more beautifully dressed than the richest king in history. God's care for the temporary beauty of a flower that will die reveals his character. If he lavishes such attention on grass, what will he do for you, for us? Well, we find the answer in verse 30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So here's the application. Your heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. Jesus emphasizes this truth when he says in verse 32, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need them." It's not what you want. It's not what you think that you deserve, but it is what you need. And he's committed to proving it. Your job isn't to figure out how God will provide. Your job is to trust that he will. That doesn't mean that life will be easy or that every desire or wish that you have will be fulfilled. It means that in the midst of uncertainty, you can rest in the certainty of God's character and his care for you. Now, the second one is today is enough to handle. In verse 34, Jesus then addresses our tendency to borrow trouble from tomorrow. And I happen to like this saying very much, this verse. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This might be the most practical mental health advice ever given. We exhaust ourselves by living multiple days at once. We wake up on Monday already stressed about maybe Friday's presentation. We're in January and we're already worrying about next December's Christmas budget. We're 25 and we're worried about retirement. And we're healthy, yet we worry about sickness. And we're alive, and yet we worry about death. And Jesus, he says, stop it. Today has enough challenges without importing tomorrow's troubles. I love how the message puts it in verse 34. Give your attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. So let's think about it. How many things that you worried about last year actually happened? Research shows that 85% of what we worry about never happens. Now, of the 15% that does happen, 79% of the people find out that they can handle it better than they thought. If they can handle it, they find out that the difficulty has taught them something valuable. So what does that mean? That means that 97% of our worry is completely wasted energy and emotional energy. But here's what's even more important. When you're constantly focused on tomorrow's potential problems, you miss out on today's actual real opportunities. You miss the conversation with your child because you're worried about the future. You miss the sunset because you're anxious about tomorrow's storm. You miss God's provision today because you're consumed with tomorrow's potential lack. How often do you spend so much time worrying about losing our job that we aren't adequately performing our current role? Our anxiety about potentially losing something can actually put that very thing at risk of loss. Instead, we can focus on what we can control today. We can focus on doing excellent work, on being kind to our colleagues, and we can be more careful and determined about trusting God with worrying about tomorrow. When we do this, we often discover that our faithful service in difficult seasons, it becomes a foundation for our future opportunities. This is what Jesus means. Focus on today's opportunities, not tomorrow's obstacles. Do today what you can do today. Trust God with what you cannot control, and let tomorrow's grace handle tomorrow's challenges. Each day really does have enough trouble of its own. You don't need to borrow any extra. And lastly, we take the kingdom approach. In verse 33, finally in verse 33, Jesus gives us the key to everything. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This isn't just spiritual sounding advice. It's the most practical life strategy you could ever adopt. When your priorities are right, everything else will fall into place. Now, they may not fall into place perfectly. They may not happen immediately. But ultimately, it will happen. What does it mean to seek God's kingdom first? Well, it means asking different questions. Instead of asking, how can I get what I want, ask, what does God want? Instead of saying, how can I control my circumstances, ask, how can I trust God to control my circumstances? Instead of asking, what's in this for me, ask, how can this serve God's purpose? Notice Jesus doesn't say, seek only God's kingdom. He says, seek first. There's an order of priority here. God first, then everything else finds its proper place. This is what Jesus means in verse 33, when he promises, all these things will be given to you as well. When God is first, he takes care of the rest. When you seek first God's kingdom, several things happen. First, your perspective changes. Problems that seemed overwhelming become opportunities for God to show his faithfulness. Uncertainties that cause panic become adventures in trust. Challenges that brought despair become platforms for growth. And second, your priorities realign. You stop chasing things that don't last, and you start investing in what is eternal. You realize that your security isn't found in your savings account, but in your Savior. Your worth isn't determined by your achievements, but by God's love for you. And third, your peace increases. When God is handling the logistics and you're handling obedience, the pressure's off. You do your part and you trust him to do his part. I think about Mary and Joseph when they couldn't find room at the inn. They didn't panic and they didn't demand 5-star accommodations for the birth of the Messiah. They trusted God's plan, even when it didn't make sense. The result? God accomplished his greatest work through their surrender to his purposes. Now, this doesn't mean that you become passive or irresponsible. Seeking God's kingdom first means doing your work with excellence. It means making wise decisions, means planning for the future, and it means caring for your family. Now you do all this while trusting God with any of the outcomes that may be or seem to be out of your control. When priorities are right, provision follows. Now it may not always follow in a way we expect or in the timing that we prefer, but in a way that accomplishes God's best purposes for our lives is the way it happens. It happens in God's way and in God's time. So in conclusion, I want to close with one truth. Uncertainty is not your enemy. It's your invitation to trust. Every uncertain moment is an opportunity to discover that God is much more faithful than you ever realized. God is much more powerful than you ever imagined. And he's much more loving than you ever dared to hope for. Jesus knew we would face uncertain times. That's why he didn't just give us wishful thinking or positive affirmations. He gave us concrete truths to anchor our souls when the storms of life threaten to overcome us. He reminds us that we serve a God who notices when a sparrow falls and who knows the number of hairs on our heads. The question isn't whether you'll face uncertainties, for we know that surely we will. The question is, will you face it with fear, or will you face it with faith? Will you trust in your own limited understanding, or will you trust in God's unlimited provisions and presence? You don't have to overcome the fear of uncertainty by eliminating uncertainty. You overcome it by knowing that the one who is certain in every uncertain circumstance is there for you and will help you. When Jesus says in verse 25, "Do not worry," he's not asking you to do something impossible. What he's doing is inviting you to do something supernatural. He's inviting you to live by faith instead of fear. We need to trust in God's provision. He knows what we need. Focus on today. It has enough grace for its challenges. Seek his kingdom first. When priorities are right, everything else follows. The same God who feeds the birds and clothes the flowers is the God who holds your future in his hands. And that is more certain than anything else in this uncertain world. You can count on it, and you should. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today is Communion Sunday, so Nancy's going to come up and help. And if the ushers would help escort people up to the front, we'll now have the service of word and table. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law, bailed against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up to us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It was poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, and do it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and in one ministry to all the world. Until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Everybody, please come on up. I'll be right down. I'm going to grab that cup. Oh, you haven't got it yet? Okay. I'll get it later. The blood of Christ.
the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. Blood of Christ. The blood of Christ.
Go sit him down and do him one at a time.
That's, I think that's the best idea.
Please stand as we sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Go now and leave this house of God, this sanctuary, this place of peace and quiet. Go now and enjoy this day that the Lord has given us, and keep God in our lives today and through the rest of the week. This Mass is over. Go in peace.